and welcome to the Pocket Gamer Podcast. I am your host, James Gilmore. It's episode number 282, we're saying. Might be 283, but I haven't had time to check yet. And I'm joined by my usual comrade. It's Peter Wellington.
Hi.
And Mr. Harry Slater.
Hello.
Now, technically, I guess you, Peter, have been doing most of the actual game playing this week in terms of new releases and stuff like that. Because Harry and I swanned off for a little seaside getaway, didn't we?
Yes, it was delightful.
It was.
Why was I not invited?
We don't really like you.
Awkward. No, it's just, are we, you know, the car only had two seats.
That's
fine, guys.
the beach only lets two people on it.
No, time? That's, yeah.
In fairness, we got shouted at when we tried to go on the beach. Well, I did anyway.
Did you? You got scolded?
Well, yeah. I think an American man had a beer, and then a big burly man said, "You've got to go on the beach."
With that beer. Oh, terrifying. Yeah. We were in Brighton for a day or so because we were covering another one of those big indie pitch events, and also Harry was covering the Develop conference, which was going on. He was inside the Hilton, the Brighton Hilton, which looked dead swank. I didn't actually go in because I was just filming stuff at the event after party thing. But you've been seeing games?
I saw some games. I saw some games and I saw some people and I saw the inside of a hotel and the outside of a hotel.
See, this is why we send you to these conferences, for this kind of exhaustive breakdown.
I remember all the things that I saw. I saw some really good stuff, some stuff coming out in the future. A game called LA Cops looks really good.
I've heard a bit about that, yeah.
For iOS. A game called Minutes for Vita.
Ooh, yeah.
It's really nice as well.
Awesome.
I played that in a corridor.
That's where we do all of our... It's very glamorous, as I'm sure you can kind of guess, most of this stuff, it takes place inside big conference halls and fancy places like the Hilton. Inevitably, what it is a couple of dudes hunched around the edge of a table in like a dark and clammy room, prodding away at an iPad. So it's not all that glamorous. But the games are fun, and it's good to see them.
I was wearing a ball gown.
Oh, that helps. You were sort of... swanking the place up a bit.
There's a report up already about the winner of the big indie pitch.
Which we got some hands-on footage with, which will be going up on Apps by this week. In fact, tomorrow I think it's going to be put up, as that's the last day of this week. So it'll be up now as you listen to it, podcast types. Peter will probably be explaining a bunch of stuff this week because he's played slightly more than either of us.
I have.
Because of our extracurricular.
I've played everything.
Yes, exactly.
My brain feels like it's going to explode.
There's an awful lot of everything to be played as well. So let's get straight to it. Updates. Angry Birds Star Wars 2's gone free to play. Which might seem like a kick in the teeth if you've actually paid money for it up front. I'm not sure. But either way, it is now free to play and it has also got 30 additional levels to go with it. So there's no price tag and more content, which seems like a bit of a deal.
Yeah.
Unless you currently own it, in which case you're probably cursing the 69p you had. Although this has been out for like well over a year now, hasn't it?
It's been out for well over a year.
So, you know, you can't get too cross. There has been a trend recently I've noticed of developers releasing games and then putting them like on sale or making them go free like in about 24 hours of putting them live. That seems really off, a bit harsh to me.
Yeah, it's like, thanks everybody for totally getting on board with all of us. Thanks for your money. And, we haven't made enough. So we're going to go free to play and jam in some free to play elements and whack up all the other bits and pieces and just screw absolutely everybody.
Yeah, it's just like punishing early adopters, it seems, which is not the thing you really want to be doing or to be encouraging them. However, this has been out for a while. The new stages in Angry Birds Star Wars 2, it's part of a bonus plaque called Master Your Destiny. And you can use imported characters using the telepods and you fight pigs. Same thing you always bloody do, isn't it? Clearly. It's still available for 69p or 99 cents on Google Play at the moment, but they say it should be switching over today. So as you listen to this podcast types, it should be free on both iOS and Android. But we will
update
you.
Can't make things free on Android, can you?
Yeah, you can. But the people always say that they don't want to because hacking and stuff.
Developers tell me that you couldn't make premium games free on the Google Play Store.
Yeah, it's...
They'll have to release a another build, Charlie.
There's some weird, loop around it. Like, that happened with Carmageddon, didn't it? There was a free version that they released.
And then they just released another paid version.
Yeah.
Maybe it's the other way. Maybe you can go paid to free, but you can't go free to pay. But anyway.
Anyway.
Talk about something else.
It should be turning up free on Android today as well. So, both of them, if you haven't played it up until now, then I suppose now's your chance. More bonus levels for it too. Also, going free, Assassin's Creed Pirates has had all of its price removed. That's not really a sentence now, is it? If you haven't played this one yet, it is a Assassin's Creed game, sort of. It's not really. It's a bunch of odd little mini games which involve you steering a ship round the ocean and then taking pot shots at other ships by sort of swiping to dodge flying cannonballs and all that stuff. People played it and went, "This isn't Assassin's Creed, this is blah." But actually, it's kind of all right. In a silly sort of way. You reviewed it, didn't you, Harry? Or was it Mark?
It's ridiculous, but really good at it. Like, you can do handbrake turns in a ship and stuff like that. But it's good.
Yeah, it's surprisingly
It's worth nothing, I would say. In a nice way.
Yeah, if you haven't, you didn't want to pay, I think it wasn't cheap either. I think it was a £2.99.
£2.99.
Yeah, or $4.99. So now it has officially gone free. It's on iPhone and iPad. I think is that for a while, or is that properly?
I imagine that it will be a sort of thing to get buzz going, because it's July now, and Assassin's Creed 5, or whatever it's called, Unity, will start the hype train. So I think this will be Ubisoft going, right, let's get people thinking about Assassin's Creed again.
All right, then. Well, it just worked because you said that. I totally wouldn't have thought about it if you hadn't said that. But you're playing right into Ubisoft's hands there, Peter.
Mm-hmm.
For shame. But yeah, you can get that.
Corrupt.
Assassin's Creed Pirates right now for free. Also, a great big bloody update for Minecraft Pocket Edition has happened. It's still on 0 point. I thought we'd be up to 1 point something by now. But it's on 0.9.0. And what does it add? Infinite worlds, caves, a bunch of different blocks, wolves to tame, flowers, new mobs, and something called an Enderman, which apparently is really creepy.
A what?
An Enderman.
Oh, right. Okay, yeah. All right, move on. This is flying past me like when we hear about Clash of Clans updates. Like, I like both of these games, but I'm just like, whoa, what? Like, what are these things?
Yeah, I know. I'm not a big crafter. But you can get it right now on the Google Play Store and the App Store. It's free, as all the updates have been. And there's, if you go and visit the page on which the news story lives on Pocket Gamer, you can click through and see like a full change log of all the stuff, because it's a bit too lengthy to list right here. Finally, in update land, Spartan Assault, the Halo game that was released for Windows tablets and Windows phone as well. Is it also available on like the phone version, or is it purely a tablet experience?
It's phone, and you can get it on your Xbox.
Ah, yeah, of course. That is currently reduced in price down to £1.49 or $1.99. That was for this whole week. So it should be still available if you're listening on Friday and possibly the weekend as well. You reviewed this, Harry, and you gave it gold.
Gold.
You said it was well good.
Yeah, it's good. It's just a nice twin stick shooter. Looks pretty. Mm-hmm. It's fun. You shoot things and they explode, and you get Halo guns, and then you shoot other things and they explode. It's like mission based. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's fun. That's
pretty much what you're looking for from this sort of thing. So it should be cheap right now, and if it's Monday, maybe not, but grab it quick if you're after it and you happen to own the Windows tablet. And to be fair, there's not a great deal of exclusive games for Windows tablets and Windows phones that you really want to care about. And I know Keith, who likes Windows phones and tablets, Keith of Pocket Gamer Biz, was a big fan of this one, and all reports I've heard say it's good. So this might be worth your time. It's Halo Spartan Assault, cheap and available right now. So then, let's not bury the lead. Modern Combat 5 Blackout, the long-awaited sequel to Modern Combat 4 and all the other ones where you run around with a gun, your man, shoot your man with a gun. It's coming out on July 24th on iOS and Android simultaneously, which means it's going to be 2 weeks from now. And it's going to cost £4.99 or $6.99. They're pitching this as a proper premium title. There are going to be no in-app purchases and all that stuff, as they've promised. So they're really trying to make a distinction. And this is Gameloft. Gameloft, who aren't afraid of putting the occasional in-app purchase in there. you know, they're not averse to the idea. Yeah. But they're trying to say that this one is a kind of complete premium experience where you're not going to be paying any additional stuff. They've also tweaked the campaign and the way the multiplayer stuff interacts together. So there's been a few articles up on this on Pocket Game already and on AppSpy, actually. And we also have a hands-on, a sort of exclusively hands-on bit, a video you can go and check out on Pocket Gamer's YouTube channel. Where Mark, our editor type person, went and did 15 minutes of full-on footage. So you can see it in motion right now. They're doing a few things differently. So one of them is it's got to be played online at all times. You've got to have an internet connection to play, which I know is one of those things that irritates people, console gamers and mobile gamers alike. Ubisoft were big fans of their logging in via Uplay and activating things online at all times or it kicks you out, which is massively frustrating. And then they pulled it out of, I think it was Assassin's Creed 3 that had that, or 2, and then they got rid of it. And these things can be a bit controversial, especially if you're out and about and you go through a tunnel and you lose internet connection and you're sort of screwed. Have you been, like, hijacked by this? I had problems with Hearthstone, which I never knew because I was playing it at home with a Wi-Fi connection and I never noticed it. But you were playing, Harry, and you said that you were cutting in and out, or someone was.
I went to my brother's doing some video because his computer was more powerful than mine at that point. And I couldn't find his Wi-Fi password anywhere, so couldn't really play the game. And then managed to, like, tether my iPad to a Samsung Galaxy S3 to get it connected, but that signal wasn't strong enough, so even in the single player stuff, sort of dragging cards around, it took a while for the game to register that had happened, because it had to tell the internet as well.
Right.
And it was just And then this week, Urban Trial Freestyle, I think it's called, a new, that came out. I'm reviewing it, and the review probably isn't up on the site. It's definitely not up on Thursday. I don't know if it'll be up on Friday, because we're meant to play it on the train on the way down to Brighton and then play it on the train on the way back down from Brighton. But unfortunately, it needs an internet connection.
No, really? Wow. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, the same thing is going to happen here. And some people are already asking in the chat room whether it's going to apply to the single player campaign. Yeah, it is. As the direct quote says in the article that Mark wrote, the single-player campaign now has a direct influence on the multiplayer environment, and we need to make sure that nobody is cheating. The online connection helps us do this, and also enables us to cloud save the progress. So even if you're playing on your own, you need to be connected. Which is happening more and more, like we say, and I can see this annoying some people. It just depends on whether it's got to be a constant connection, or it kicks you out the moment you lose signal, or whether it's one of these things where it checks in every 5 minutes or 10 minutes, which, you know, that's not necessarily so bad. But what they're trying to do with this, as they mentioned, the kind of connecting the single player and multiplayer campaigns, so you have stuff that, like, you play story missions with cutscenes and action set pieces in the single player mode. And you also get these spec ops that you'll be able to do that are, like, very, very short versions of missions that you can just play in a more kind of quick play sort of way. But also, your experience will carry over into the multiplayer. So the multiplayer section gives you control of squads, you get four different modes, you get classes, and as it says, it's called unified progression. That's what they're trying to do. So what you achieve in single player will reflect in your multiplayer campaign, in the environments, and I think the perks and the weaponry and stuff like that.
But here's the thing with that. Okay. Anything you do in the single player reflects in the multiplayer.
Right.
Okay. You need an internet connection to play multiplayer. That makes sense. So when you connect to the, why couldn't it just upload the stuff that you've earned when you were doing your single player when you connect to the multiplayer? Wouldn't that make more sense?
I suppose the anti-cheating thing will be, here's the amount of experience you could potentially grind in the amount of gameplay that you've done, and it will clock in every, you know, however many minutes. This is me theorizing completely, but it will clock in every few minutes and go, this is the maximum amount of experience that the person could have actually achieved. This is how much they actually did achieve, and that will be their anti-cheating mechanism. Because otherwise you'll have to, you know...
Presumably you could hack the single-player mode and say you've completed it 50 times, and then upload that data when you turn onto multiplayer, and it'll give you loads of perks. Maybe, I don't know. But, I mean... There are always reasons given for this sort of thing. Ubisoft had reasons when they were doing their sort of anti-piracy login every 5 seconds. But it just wound up being so super frustrating that they pulled it back on a number of things. And like they said, like, we have to do this, we have to do this. But no, you don't really have to do it. It's like the Xbox, all that Xbox One stuff, which was essential. Like, we can't just unplug Kinect. It's built into the very architecture of the stuff. Oh, actually, we'll just turn it off.
Hold on, we just pulled the... Oh, we pulled the plug out and it was fine.
it just lifts off.
It's fine. And also we just realised that no one uses it. So, we could save some money.
They literally, said it's not as simple as just flicking an on-off switch. Presumably, while they had their finger on the on-off switch.
No, because just covering it. Just covering the switch entirely. Just like, oh, what switch?
What on-off?
Whatever. Xbox One, yeah. The premium price is not going to be that cheap. Like, that is that the most expensive a Modern Combat game's ever been?
No, I mean, this is... I think this is...
Is that standard?
Pretty standard.
Back in the day, they were $2.99.
I thought they were $2.99 as well. Yeah, maybe they have been expensive.
Well, they've always been premium, but I don't remember them being that much. Either way, it's a sturdy price, but I think they're doing that to say, look, here's a proper premium game, you won't get pestered with in-app purchases or anything like that. So that might please some people, but equally, I can see this online nonsense upsetting other people. Either way, we will give you previews and more previews as soon as we get hands-on with the build ourselves. You can also see a bit of very early gameplay, like I said, over on Pocket Gamer itself, that YouTube channel, and we'll keep you informed up until the July 24th release date. Simultaneous, like I say, on iPhone and iPad and Android stuff too. So if you are a shooty man or a shooty lady, then you can look forward to that one. Also, this is kind of an out now, but not really. The upcoming Guardians of the Galaxy film, which has got a lot of hype around it and a lot of people looking forward to it. A lot of goodwill around this one, I feel. Which is quite nice.
Goodwill.
That's interesting, yeah. No,
around the movie itself.
Oh, around the movie.
Yeah, so the movie itself's been generating sort of fun because it looks fun. It looks upbeat. It doesn't look like it's super serious or anything, and it's a bit different, and the casting's fun, so people are excited for it. They have released, in soft launch, the accompanying video game. Only in Malaysia, though. They usually do soft launches in places like New Zealand and Canada and Australia and stuff. They've gone for the Malaysian app store this time. Don't know why, but they're mixing it up a bit for some reason. This is Disney, who I believe are behind it, right?
It is. Yeah, because it's Marvel that owns it.
So they've gone ahead and done that. And we have got a hands-on preview that Peter did this very day. Because we found out it had just been released, and so we got our Malaysian account that we have lying about, and we downloaded it, and you've been playing it, Peter. What say you of this soft launch, not yet finished game?
I say it's like that Ghostbusters game that came out ages ago and I didn't like very much.
Oh, that was balls.
It was balls.
I played
wasn't
that
it?
Game and it was rubbish.
So it's a situation whereby you pick a team out of, you know, the Guardians of the Galaxy, which, as much as Disney and Marvel would like you to believe, it's not been a big series for several years now. Like, the fact is, it died at the end of the 70s, the series itself, and then had to be rebooted in the early noughties, and now it's coming out as a film because they just thought, well, we've got this property lying about, and it's a good excuse to do, you know, something cool with it. So, it's not like any of those characters you'll go, oh, I remember the guy made out of a tree. He was brilliant. He's one of my favourite characters.
That's also kind of fun about it, though. I'm going to pull up the actual video now. That's quite fun about this, though, is that it's not a very, very well-known brand, and they know it, and they kind of have done it as an offshoot. These are the kind of the B characters that they've rolled out. And that for that reason, they can play about with it a little bit more. But I've just put a video up of it playing, and you can see what the combat is like. You say it's like the Ghostbusters game for people who haven't played it.
So you pick your team out of these characters, and then you go into an arena, and it's a completely enclosed space. And then waves and waves and waves of people come after you, and you sort of fight against them. And like, you literally tap on your character and drag a marker to the person you want to attack.
Okay.
And then there's a special attack that has a cooldown applied to it as well. You know, like, it's just kind of, you tap away, you knock away at their health, and eventually you win. And then you upgrade your items and you buy new items and that sort of thing. There's, like, practically no skill to it from what I saw. However, I do like the way it looks. I think it's pretty. Like, I like the big heads, and I like the...
They look like bobbleheads, don't they?
They do look like bobbleheads, and it fits the tongue-in-cheek like scamps on a space adventure style that Guardians of the Galaxy actually has.
Well, fair enough. I mean, we've got the video up in full and playing it right now, but you can see it by going over to AppSpy's page and check out the YouTube account. It is still in soft launch. This is an early thing, so it's not necessarily finished. But as the movie comes out the end of this month, I think, I imagine it's going to be turning up at the same time. So expect it to be out in, I would say, 2 weeks. Week and a half, 2 weeks, I'd imagine. Do we have anything other newsy? I thought we did have something. Oh yeah, we do. Excellent. Right. So we were talking about Hearthstone earlier in relation to online only gaming. Blizzard's just announced the details of their first paid for DLC single player campaign extension thingy. It's called Curse of Naxxramas, and it gives you access to this four or five different chaptery things? Let me have a look. Yeah, five. They're called wings. Gives you access to five different wings, which are, in order, are the Arachnid Quarter, Plague Quarter, Military Quarter, Construct Quarter, and the Frostworm Lair. Each of those wings, as they're called, gives you access to fights, a series of battles with someone with a boss at the end. So you get five bosses. They're going to be released week by week, and the first one's going to be free for a month. So the Arachnid Quarter, I believe, you can download for free during the month launch event. So they'll be launching one every week or so. And during that time, the first chapter is going to be free. However, after that, the Arachnid Quarter and all subsequent chapters will cost £4.99 or $6.99, rather, or 700 gold if you've got in-game currency. Up until now, it's been a properly free-to-play game in which you can really sit down and play everything you want for free and then cough up if you want extra cards and stuff. This is the first time they're introducing some serious pricey stuff beyond just buying extra cards or buying extra gold. You'll be able to get them as multi-packs, so if you want to buy all five wings simultaneously, it'll be £17.49 or $24, and then you can do 4, 3, or 2 if you want to, or try and earn the gold in game by playing loads and loads and loads. I reckon this is going to be quite big. Like, the number of people who play it's already substantially high. And with, we're going to talk about it later, but we'll mention it now, Magic 2015 appearing, it's the real contender now for the Magic the Gathering franchise, which has really stood unopposed in terms of serious-headed fantasy card games. There's always been loads of stuff like Rage of Bahamuts and Tappy Tappy card games, but for serious actual enthusiasts, Magic's always been the kind of gold standard.
Yeah.
But Hearthstone's been received so very well and kind of nailed the free-to-play thing very, very well. I would like to see how many people decide to cough up for this. Because it seems to be that in these card games, people are prepared to hand over a lot of money if they take it seriously. You were talking about it yesterday, Peter, on the stream. But you've got a friend who spent, how much was it on cards?
Like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pounds. Like, I think it was something like 300, 400 quid on three physical cards.
That's just on three cards.
Damn.
Yeah. Yeah, so if you are a proper hobbyist, if you're a serious enthusiast about these card games, then you can just spend a bomb. So whilst you look at that and say, God, 17 quid, 18 quid now to buy those extra chapters, that's coming up to a cheap console game, you know, placed on sale. There's a good chance people will go for it in quite large numbers, I would think. So yeah, this definitely is where Blizzard start making their serious monies. I still haven't had time to sit down and properly play. I played it for a couple of hours to get the basics, but I haven't like poured myself into it or anything.
No.
And I kind of wanted to because I really liked the time that I spent with it, even though I was crap and just starting out. It was fun. And having gone a little bit hands-on with Magic, it makes me even more well-disposed to Hearthstone, slightly. We'll talk about Magic properly later. But we don't actually know when this is coming out. They've revealed all the details for it. You can see the full price list up on Pocket Gamer. But we're going to get a release date for you as well as soon as it appears. In the meantime, carry on playing Hearthstone for free. Get really good. And then when these campaigns appear, you'll be well equipped to kick ass upon them. Out and about this week, The Wolf Among Us episode 5, the final episode in the 5-episode-long saga, has just hit the App Store. It's available as an IAP if you've already got the app, or you're going to have to download the free app and probably play through all the other chapters quite quickly if you want to actually appreciate it. As you've pointed out in the story, Harry, it's been kind of an uppy-downy experience, The Wolf Among Us. started off cracking.
Yep.
And then all the reviews range from, like you said, between like kind of 9 out of 10 to 6 out of 10 for some of the episodes. So it hasn't managed to maintain a really, really high streak.
I think it's sort of interesting with this sort of thing, I guess, that like, I think we've talked about this before, if you review the episodes on their own and sort of standalone and stuff, then you'll probably end up with a series of reviews, and then you sort of amalgamate the score at the end, and you might end up with a higher score than, you know. But I think, yeah, I think, like, Telltale stuff, all these recent seasons, I think the Walking Dead as well, haven't been quite as good as... Like, they've had real high points, but they've had some quite low points recently.
I don't know if that's reflective of the games themselves and they genuinely haven't been as good, or whether people are now a little bit more accustomed to the formula and the way these games work. Mm. And so they're not having the impact that the original Walking Dead series, for example, had, because it was such a step up from their previous adventure game work that people went, wow! And now I think we're all kind of into the ebb and flow of it. We know kind of how it works, and people are sort of savvy to the rules, and maybe it doesn't have quite such an impact. Having said that, there have been some really cool bits in The Wolf Among Us, and I enjoyed playing through it. I've done all three of the first chapters and some of the fourth chapter. So I will play it through. I will actually finish it. It's sort of worth doing, I think. Mark's reviewing it at the moment, I think, literally as we speak. If you haven't got it yet, then £2.99 or $4.99 will net you the new episode, or as we've said before, it's about 10 quid or 15 bucks to buy the whole thing en masse. And if you haven't played it at all, you can try out the first episode for free. So it's called, what is it called actually? Cry Wolf. There's your final installment. So get to that if you've been waiting for it. Get some resolution. Now then, Magic 2015, as we've alluded to earlier. We got preview footage of this ages ago, actually, didn't we, Peter? I can sort of show it to you. We streamed it on the Twitch stream yesterday, but also we got the developer to talk us through it when you went and visited the offices, didn't you?
I did. I went to go and see their nice headquarters at Hasbro, and they were all like, come on in, play some cards. And I was like, I haven't got time, I've got to catch a bus in a minute. And then we recorded some video of them showing me Magic 2015. And you know what? Pretty good.
It's currently free to download on iPad and iPad only.
Mm.
I think originally we thought it was going to be a premium app, and it has turned out that it isn't. But the previous games in the series, 2014, and I think there was a 2013 as well, at least, were reviewed really highly. 2014 got a gold, and like I said, it has kind of been the bar for interactive fantasy card games, as it is in the real world. The physical card game is, you know, ludicrously popular. The playing field has shifted now slightly, though, with the release of Hearthstone. So I think now there's more competition for your card game buck. And I'm interested to see whether they'll have stepped up their game, not necessarily this time, because I think Hearthstone wasn't released at the time this was in development, but I'd be interested to see 2016, whether they look at Hearthstone and go, ooh, because having played a bit of 2015, right, it's the first thing I would say is it's not as visually slick as Hearthstone is, by quite some distance. And I mean, I'm not saying it's ugly, because it's not. It's a perfectly good-looking game, and you can deal your cards, you double-tap them to zoom in, and they fly up on the screen. Then you pick them up with your finger, and you drag them out onto the deck, and they lay down face down on a table. There's a certain amount of like perspective to the table, so your cards close to you are slightly closer and seem a little bit bigger. But the table is just kind of white and plain, and that's it. It's kind of quite minimal, as if you're really playing the game and laying it out on a table. Hearthstone, on the other hand, is all colour and swoopy transitions and spoken word, like the other guy who you're fighting is insulting you while you're laying cards down, and it's really swish. Really swish.
When I went to go and visit them, I talked to them about that very obvious question, which is, why can't you bring the cards that you unlocked from last year into the new one?
Oh, is that something you can't carry over?
No, so you can't bring the cards that you unlocked / purchased into a new version of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And because this is when Hearthstone had soft launched on iOS, and I think it had been out and about on PC for a bit.
Yeah.
And it sort of made the comparison to that and said, you know, that's a game that you get everything, you build this big collection. They're not going to do a sequel to it. It's just going to be that one big game. But you do sequels all the time. And they said, yeah, well, you know, we like to see each Magic game is kind of its own separate entity with its own separate story and its own set of cards that have been balanced in a very specific way, so that it's like a more custom-made experience. That was kind of like, right. I'm paraphrasing, but like that's kind of where they're coming from on that stuff. So they want you to buy it every single year. And I didn't really have the heart to say to him, but that's a terrible value proposition for people who play the game. Mm. And it's not in the spirit of Magic.
Well, because Magic the Gathering, the card game, you can obviously build your decks up and create your own. And the characters don't suddenly become defunct when the year rolls over. You got your deck and you can keep them. So, it does seem a little bit... I wouldn't want to spend like loads and loads and loads of money and then suddenly not be able to play the people who are playing 2016. Having to reinvest all over again. That seems a bit cheeky, like you say, not a great value proposition. I'm going to look forward to see the reaction to this one. I've only played it very briefly myself, but we're going to have a review up soon, no doubt. You can see preview video on AppSpy at the moment, and you'll be able to get it both on just iPad on iOS, and it will be coming to Android tablets as well. But it isn't available at the moment. So we don't know the release date for that, but they haven't confirmed it. But it definitely will be coming to Android. So if you're a tablet owner, you can get in on the fun too. Now, this we played on the stream yesterday, and I took issue with it. FFFFF2P. Which is... Well, it's supposed
rubbish.
To be...
It's rubbish, James. That's what it is.
Yes, I'm going to say that. It's supposed to be like... Well, this is the quote, right? So Elevate, the guys behind it, said, this is what the game is. It's made from a developer's perspective of the tension and pressure to make free-to-play actually make money on the App Store. So it's a free-to-play game that's supposed to be satirizing free-to-play games. Right? So let's get meta. You take control of this little character, King, and you scroll left and right on the bottom of the screen, and blocks fall down like Tetris blocks from the top of the screen, but they just whiz down to the bottom, and try to land on your head, basically. And the blocks have stuff written on them, like F2P, or apps, or limited time offer, and stuff. And almost immediately, you're likely to get smushed by one of these blocks, pretty much the moment you boot it up. And then when you do that, you earn coins for dying, which you can then spend on stuff, and then you just start the game again, and you die, and that just keeps happening. And I think, like he said, their excuse for it, their reasoning, is that it's like trying to make a good free-to-play game is like being a man running along and being crushed by all these weighty problems and responsibilities. I think that's what they're getting at. However, actually playing it is no fun at all. Not for me, it's anyway.
It's like, you know, in... And Far Cry Blood Dragon does this, but the famous one is Matt Hazard. You know, remember the Matt Hazard game back in the PS3 days? Yeah, Harry does. Like, it's where the character would turn to the player and say, huh, another boring tutorial, and then would proceed to go through a boring tutorial. Like, just because you say, huh, this is going to be rubbish, doesn't make it any less rubbish?
Yeah.
Makes it more
rubbish. It annoys me.
Because it's like, exactly. This is going to be awful. No, you're doing it. You're still doing it. Oh, no, you've thrown the disc in the bin.
And there are still ads being pushed in your face at the same time. This was the problem with people getting sick of the Grindhouse movie thing. It's like, we're going to make movies deliberately look crap. Yes, that's cool, right? That's cool and edgy. So, no, not really. It just looks a bit crap. And when you could do better, so shame on everybody. I played it for about 10 minutes on the stream, and that was quite enough. I don't know if I'm missing a very, very clever point that's going over my head, but I didn't find it fun to play. And you can pay money to unlock coins to see the ending if you want to, and I don't know. It seems like an exercise in superiority to me, and I'm not down with it. But whatever, you can download it for free right now. FFFFF2P. Moving on. Urban Trial Freestyle, which is not entirely unlike Trials, I'm going to say, because it really isn't. This is the game that you played most of this, I think, Peter. And Harry, you've been playing it a bit as well.
I've played a bit of it today, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I played it for the first time on the stream yesterday. It is very much like Trials, only instead of it being a free-to-play, slightly steampunky, cartoony affair, this is a premium and a little bit more real-world proposition. So instead of running through really colourful landscapes in the future with mad cowboys and that, you are what looks like a much more grizzled biker dude trolling along through a normal-looking city. So it's pretty grounded. But the same gameplay stuff still applies. You are using the left side of the screen to tilt your balance, sort of positioning on your bike, so you can move forwards and backwards, and then you're accelerating using the left-hand side and going over a series of jumps and loop-the-loop things and trying to make it to the end in one piece, obviously doing a few stunts along the way. How did you find this compared with Trials Frontiers, Peter? Because you've played Frontiers for quite a while.
Yeah.
And this one for a little while longer. What are the major differences, you'd say?
Put far too long into it. So the difference is that Trials Frontiers is much more of a digital game, in so much as you tap left and right on the screen to... You move your character back on the bike, and you're either back on the bike or you're at the front of the bike.
So you're shifting the centre of gravity.
Yeah, there's very little like finesse to your movement, and like with Urban Trial Freestyle, there's a lot more ability to kind of like very carefully tweak where you want to place yourself. You're completely right about the aesthetic. It's much more like realistic. I would go so far as to say dingy, almost like quite grimy.
It's basically what Trials looks like when it's not being a free to play game. It's that it is literally just like the first couple of Trials games that were on consoles. It looks exactly the same as those.
Pretty much. It is, but it is far more elaborate than Trials Frontier.
Absolutely.
There's downloadable courses, you can create your own stuff. And there are more like challenges in the levels. I found that towards the end of it, I was just accelerating all the time and not really doing anything like clever. But with this, it's like you have to really figure out how you're going to get through the environment. And I found that really engaging too.
There are bits, even in the videos that we're just watching now, like it records how high you jump. So you can see every time you do a jump, you'll see lines floating in the air delineating where your highest leap was. And there are elements where you have to really like slow down, because otherwise you're just going to plow face first into something. So you have to stop and wait for a car to go past and then jump over them, or you have to stop and then kind of move backwards. It's got a slightly more of a maze-like puzzle-y thing going on a little bit. You say, rather than just smashing on the accelerate button and trying to stay upright. It's pretty smooth. There are a couple of frame rate hiccups we noticed playing it on the iPad, but we were streaming it at the same time, so that puts it under strain a little bit. It's relatively smart, and it certainly works. And the other thing you can do is, as well as using the touchscreen controls, you can have a tilt option. So you can control your bike as a center of balance by tilting your iOS device, which actually works quite well. It doesn't move as fast, I find. Even if you tilt full left, it kind of gently moves left and right. But it was actually quite effective. It was a good way of staying upright just by using the tilt controls. So a few options on offer. We haven't reviewed this one yet, have we? Or Harry,
no,
have you gone up?
I needed an internet connection, so I haven't played that much of it yet. But it'll be not up on Friday, it should be up on Monday.
Gotcha. All right then. So check back with us for the review of that one. It is available right now and will cost you £1.49 or $1.99, and it's Urban Trial Freestyle. Okay. Let's go to do Sonic and Disappointment. Those two things that go hand in hand and have done for the past decade or so. So Sonic Jump, which was essentially Doodle Jump with Sonic in it, was released a couple of years ago and was a premium game in which Sonic jumps up and up and up and up over a series of platforms, being Sonic. They've released Sonic Jump Fever this week, which is available for iPhone and iPad right now and on Google Play, and it is a free-to-play version of basically the same thing, I'm going to say. I played this on stream yesterday, and I'd played Sonic Jump before as well, and it's just that. I'm not a great fan of it.
Nope.
Because it's really counterintuitive and a bit bland. I'll show you just why. I can play a little video of it. But the thing that both Peter and I noticed, and we noticed this separately and like whined about it in a window somewhere, and both said the same thing. Like, one of the major redeeming features of Sonic, or Tails, whoever you're playing as, is that he is A, very, very fast, and B, he spins in the air and he jumps on creatures' heads.
Mm-hmm.
And that kills them. That's how that works, right?
That's fun. I enjoy that bit.
Yeah, I know. Well, in Sonic Jump Fever, if you jump on something's head, you die. Which is the opposite of what I'm looking for from Sonic, really.
That could be the fever that he's got, and he's too ill to spin around.
Horrible reverse fever.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, well, maybe. But either way, I don't want to play a sick Sonic. I want a healthy Sonic who can jump on things' heads, because this is nonsense. If you've not played Doodle Jump or any of these games, it's just a bunch of platforms floating in the air. It's a vertically ascending game, so the screen is kind of constantly moving up. As you jump up, the screen moves up and then doesn't move back down again. So if you miss your platform, you will fall to your death, and you have to hop up and up and up and up to get to the very end, where there'll be an airship waiting for you, onto which you'll have to fling little creatures who are all sitting in a line at the bottom, and you literally flick every single one of them one by one up with your finger, which is sort of a bit silly, but it is all right. You have a limited time in which to do it. I can't remember the exact time period, but you're restricted. You're doing it against the clock. That's probably the fever as well. The time fever, yeah?
Yeah.
But the problem is, as you jump up and jump up, like, you automatically jump when you hit a platform, but you can jump again by tapping the screen, so you can do a double jump. And every single instinct that I have, every fiber of my being, is getting Sonic to jump in the air and then jump on the bad guys. Because that's what I've been doing for 20 years.
Yep.
And the moment you do it, you die. And you go, what's going on here? And you realise, actually, you have to jump up from underneath them, through the platform, and that's how you kill them. And it's like trying to erase two decades of programming. And it feels horrible. And I don't like doing it, and it makes me a bit sad. Added to that, it's got an awful lot of free-to-play nonsense. So you've got a time limit, which restricts how long you can play and how long each level lasts. You have an energy system, which gives you a maximum of 5 plays before you have to wait and recharge or buy more coins or something. And you've got an awful lot of in-app purchase stuff where you can buy extra characters and buy loads of perks and boosts and things. And so it looks quite pay-to-win.
Do you want to know something really disappointing?
Go on.
I'm going to tell you. Sonic the Hedgehog, the original Sonic the Hedgehog, came out in 1991, and we all remember that fondly on this thing, right? Like, that was the game of our childhoods. Yep. Yeah, it's 22 years ago.
Yeah, it's just become the grumpy old men who are getting cross at the
20. That was 22 years ago, James and Harry.
The kids will never know the glory.
I remember
they're playing this crap instead.
I distinctly remember that game coming out.
Don't. No, this is awful. Oh, I'm going to start pining for my sled, which is the only thing I ever wanted. And then I died, and then...
Honestly, when I think about stuff like that, I just start staring into the abyss. It's just terrifying. And this is how far it's come in 22 yes. years.
You lucky kids, this is what you get to play instead. Sonic Fever, Jump Fever. Either way, if you do want to give it a go, it's free to play right now, out on iPhone and iPad, and I think Android too. So if you want to do that, you can. Alternatively, you can play Sky Tourist Blitz Trip, which is a sequel to Sky Tourist, which is a quite novel little game. I actually quite like this. The gameplay mechanics of it anyway, but this is awesome. I'm just bringing up the story to look at it. You've noticed the same thing that I was questioning, which seemed really weird. So for the game first. The game is you're controlling this little guy who's strung out on a string between two rockets. So he's dangling from this string. You put a thumb on each rocket on either side of the screen, and then if you push both rockets up simultaneously, you'll ascend the screen. And if you want to move the guy left or right across the environment, then you kind of bring your like left thumb up, for example, and your right thumb down, and he'll slide down the string like that. Like a little zip line. And then if you want to do reverse, obviously you raise your right thumb and lower your left. So it lets you kind of swing him back and forth across. If you drag too far in either direction, the string will snap and break. Likewise, if he gets caught on a bit of the environment, you can snap the string and you have to start all over again. And what you have to do is guide your little guy through these vertically scrolling environments, collecting a bunch of flappy cube things and also some shiny diamond-looking things along the way whilst avoiding some enemies. It's a novel control scheme, and I liked the first episode. It's really, really smooth. It's visually very smart, and I thought it was quite nice. Let's focus on the actual issue in this game. So these characters, the enemies, and there are a couple of them wandering around, and I saw them up front. Scary's recoiling in horror.
Ooh.
And yeah, right, so they look a bit weird. They look like gollywogs. Gollywogs being toys from, I think, the 1920s, 1910s, 1920s, when they first appeared.
Yeah.
And for a while, they were, you know, acceptable little characters. They appeared on things like jam.
Yeah, stuff, yeah, you could get them when you bought a jar of jam.
Yeah. So they were little dolls that people made. And they were dolls of... They were basically black, as in, like, actually jet black dolls with big white eyes. And they were made to look a bit like when people used to dress up in blackface to impersonate African-American or dark-skinned people, and have since become a little bit, racist.
Shouldn't talk about, probably shouldn't show that on, Jam. Definitely.
No,
definitely
not Jam. Or in games. And the enemies in Blitztrip, I looked at them and went, ooh, that looks a bit weird, and it turns out that we've, a pocket gamer noticed it as well, and said, they look a bit like gollywogs, and not just the image of them, but the context in which they're used. So they are used in these jungle environments, and they run around, and they've got big white eyes and big red lips and black faces, and they wander around looking primitive and savage.
Great.
Which is about as close to really racist as you could probably get. Now, you could say we're being overly sensitive here, but you can see the image on the site, and come on now. So obviously, the developers themselves, Three-Legged Egg, have got in touch with Pocket Gamer today and released a little statement, which says, first, we'd like to say there is no way any intention for such a thing as this. They're not intending to do that. So they say, all the artwork that was created was done so without any knowledge of the existence of the Gollywog or its history. So they're claiming not to know anything about what even a Gollywog is.
Or Jam.
The color palette that was decided on for the characters took this form for specific reasons. We wanted the player to be in a vibrant, colourful world, but around the design issue of the enemies needing to stand out, so black was the best option for them. Whatever visual coincidences may have occurred, we hope no one has taken offence. So Harry's indicating that perhaps some offence has been taken. I don't know whether this is true or not. I'm inclined to give them the benefit of the doubt, because I don't have any other evidence to say otherwise. It's an unfortunate visual coincidence, and if they are deliberately inciting that kind of imagery, it's a very, very stupid thing to do. But, there's a good chance it may have well been just an accident. However, I'll talk about the actual game itself a little bit later on, when we're doing the Game of Thronesy thing. It is available right now. I can't remember what it's cost. I think it costs about £1.49, $1.99. It's something around that, I think. I'll speak more about it a little bit later on. Also out, Hellraid The Escape, which you've been playing, Peter.
I have.
And is a bit puzzly and a bit horror-y.
It's a little bit like The Room meets a survival horror in the vein of, Nyalumbra? Is it Nyalumbra or Penumbra?
Penumbra.
Is that what it's called? Yeah, Penumbra.
Both things exist.
But most of them, okay, good. Penumbra. Like a first-person adventure through a really dank, dark, horrible place where human beings get tortured. In first person, and you are trying to escape a room or a series of rooms, essentially. Mm. It's also got a little bit of the Dark Souls respawn, but everything's still the way that you left it mechanic.
Oh, right.
So okay. If you progress a certain amount of distance and then you get killed by one of the very many things that want to kill you, you don't lose all of that progress. So that's pretty cool. And the reason I want to compare it to The Room is because a lot of the functionality, such as when you might find yourself in a locked room where there's a sort of like a deadbolt lock, mm-hmm. and you can just tap on the screen to focus in on that thing, and then you literally tap and drag the deadbolt away horizontally. So there's that sort of tactility to the game as well.
Okay.
It's kind of an interesting amalgamation of two or three different games.
Well, we're going to have a hands-on of this one up very, very soon, which I think you've been doing, Peter. It costs £1.99 and $2.99. We're also look into reviewing this one, because I like my dark, horror-y things, and I think it might be jolly. I think the last thing I'm going to mention is the Blackwell series, which is a series that previously existed on PC, a point-and-click adventure which has a slightly spooky undertone, presented in very lo-fi 80s kind of, pixel art stuff, in the vein of your Monkey Islands and your Indiana Jones and the Fate of Atlantis or Curse of Atlantis or whatever it's called. In which you take control of a journalist-y type person. Is she? I'm not sure if she is.
She's a journalist who finds out she can talk to dead people.
Yeah, which is something that happens in games.
Oh, that is like one of the things that made me want to be a journalist.
What, communing with the undead?
They haven't taught me it yet. I guess it's later on.
Oh, rubbish. Have you played this one a little bit, Harry?
No, I've Mark's review went up now, and I just subbed it, so I sort of read it to see
what you thought.
If the words were right, and in doing so, got the gist of the game.
Sure.
So, yeah.
I played it a little bit on the stream last night as well. It behaves very much like you'd expect. If you play Gemini Rue, which is their futuristic noir point-and-click adventure, it follows the same rules. It's even a little bit more stripped down. There are fewer options in this. It's basically just like a look and an interact, whereas Gemini Rue has a bit of more of a complex UI, where, yeah, I can look at things and touch things and talk to things and do little dances or whatever. Not that last one, but you know what I mean. I think Mark quite liked it. Gave it a bronze award, I believe, and said it's pretty good fun if you like that sort of thing. It's available. I think the original series is 5 episodes long. The first 3 episodes have been released, which are titled, let's get this right, Legacy, Unbound, and Convergence. And you can get them all individually. So it's £1.49 to get the Legacy, the first chapter. And then there's a 70-set prequel, Unbound, and Convergence. And each of those are £1.99 or $2.99. The first one's a bit cheaper, other ones cost a little bit more. And the final two chapters, which are called Deception and Epiphany, are supposed to appear later in the year. So there's plenty to keep you going until then.
Come sit upon my throne of games.
Okay, here we are once again. There's a chamber, there's a throne, and we're going to talk about some games. But for the first time, I think I'm going to actually request you talk about games. Specifically, I'm going to get two of you to hop on the throne simultaneously, right? So you can each hop, don't look at me like that, it's going to be great fun. You can hop on either arm of the throne, you and Harry. Go on, Peter, okay. Harry.
Go. All right, hold on.
Get comfy.
There we are.
Get cozy. Oh.
You can sit on my lap if you want.
I'm not sitting on your lap
No,
again.
It's normal.
No. What? Don't touch me then. Go
on. All right, fine. So now that you've both become acquainted, fight. Because I'm going to request both of you talk about that new skateboardy game. The name of it just temporarily escaped me.
Ken's World Endless Skating,
which is also out this week, boys and girls, and a free-to-play skater that you can go and download right now if you wish. I have saved it from the new release section because I wanted you two to talk about it, because you've both been playing this a fair bit, and I think we have differing opinions.
Me and Peter having differing opinions. That's never happened before.
Okay, so I'm going to let Harry go first on this one, because I think you're going to be the ray of sunshine to Peter's stormy cloud.
Yeah.
So go on in, Harry. What's your experience? What is the game, first of all?
It's not endless. I don't know why it's called endless. It's like an auto-running skateboarding game. It's an auto-rolling skateboarding game, I guess it'd be there. It's got 3 lanes that you can swipe between, and a variety of different obstacles that you can jump on and flip off and grind, and you can't do backflips, unfortunately, which is why I think the review should be up when you're listening to the podcast. So now, and it got a 7 out of 10, a bronze award, because it's quite cruel with its content. Stop making faces at me.
Peter's already starting to vibrate in his seat.
I really liked it. I thought it really kept me entertained. It's got this sort of weirdly compulsive rhythm to it, and buying new tricks and fitting them in and learning to combo stuff together, learning where you have to go on the lines. I mean, it's not by any means anything. It's not Touch Grind or that other one that I always forget the name of.
True Skate.
Yeah. We always forget one of them.
They're a really clever and really intuitive touchscreen. It's not that. It's very much on the arcade end of the spectrum. It's more, you know, just a quick fun thing that you can do for a couple of minutes. It's free to play. It's got some problems in that area, but there are very high walls to get to other parts of the game, sort of, to get to the next level,
right,
and to unlock new skaters who are all like professional skaters, and to get those you have to pay, which is fair enough. It's free to play, you have to pay for something.
Sure. Okay, so but broadly positive, despite some niggling issues. Peter, you are a resident skater experty type person. Sure. I would say, because you do like these games genuinely.
Yes,
like
I do.
You've always liked skater games, and you've played your fair share of them on iOS. How does this one stand up to the other skater games?
Yeah, I don't like this game at all. And
and you like free to play, don't you?
I suppose. Well, this is it. This is why I find like me thinking that maybe this is opposite world. So for a free to play skateboarding game, for me not to like it, it's a bit of a strange one. I don't hate it. I really don't hate it. I think that it's a very all right, Endless Runner.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very weak skateboarding game. And it, right. I feel like it sets itself up to try and be an Endless Runner because there is endless running involved in it. There is, you know, you are moving along at a set pace and you must avoid obstacles in the manner in which they are put in front of you. There are tricks as well that you bring in that Harry was talking about. And the control method originally sort of put my nose out of shape because it takes a lot of getting used to. But actually, I find works really well. It actually works in its favour. There's four different parts of the screen. You can touch them to do different things. Mm-hmm. One of them is grind, one of them is flip, one of them is grab, and so on. The thing I don't like about it is its free-to-play nature, which, yeah, you have to buy all these characters and stuff, and I'm totally okay with that. That's fine.
Sure.
And you can buy stat upgrades and so forth. Again, I'm all right with that. But the problem is that you will come up against what Harry was talking about. There are walls in so much as progress and getting access to a new character, a new area. But mm-hmm. there are also literal walls that I couldn't get over because my character wasn't fast enough or didn't have the ability to kind of jump high enough.
I'm going to butt in there. Because I think those are just lines you shouldn't take. You're just doing it wrong.
But then there's... So if those are lines that I cannot take, then I'm completely okay with that being a thing. Like, I don't have to be able to get through every, like, sequence every single time and through every route every time. However, if that's the case, then it doesn't give me enough of a viewing angle to actually see those walls coming up. If you're actually on the... Like, you have maybe 2 seconds, maybe a second and a half to react. And in a game where you have to set up a jump, you have to figure out what kind of move you're going to do, whether or not you're going to need to grind at the end of it or anything like that, it's just simply not enough time to figure out how you're going to do it. I also found that, like, landing on a rail was really spotty.
I found that playing it.
Like you agree with me, right? Like, hitting a rail, you're like, oh, yeah, cool, I'm totally going to hit this. And then you're like, no, wait, I didn't, and now I fell down some stairs.
I think I am going to miss that rail and then hit it. And, yeah, no, I agree on that. I don't agree with the time thing. I think you get to know the stretches of obstacles that hit. They're in different places, but they're always the same. And when you see the one, you know, there's the one with the plank that goes up and then it drops down into a set of stairs and then there's a three-stair thing to flip out of at the end. You get to know what you have to do and where you have to be on these sets of obstacles, which I think adds to the challenge. And it's good that they're different every time, and it's good that you're sort of having to pick your way through the different things. Like that, because there's that one with the set of stairs on the left-hand track, that if you could jump up them, you couldn't jump up the second set anyway. So you have to make sure you're in the middle, which you can grind all the way across as a gap.
Sure.
Or you can go to the right where there's different stuff. And it's getting to know sort of where the obstacles are.
Fine.
So basically, Harry's saying that you're Peter?
Yeah. Have you upgraded your jumps and stuff with the cash that you've earned, right?
Yes, I have. Yeah, I've been doing that. And it takes an achingly long time.
I don't even think it did.
How long did it take you? Like, I was playing this for, like, 45 minutes. And, like, by that time, I didn't have enough to avoid some of the obstacles. And, like...
It's like a thousand coins a pop, and you're getting about 250, 300 a run.
Right, well, I clearly wasn't investing it in the right spaces. But, like, okay,
just so... The little wheels on your skater, shows you, man.
Here's another counterpoint to this.
Okay.
Like, changing lanes is about as fast as what it is when trains do it. Like, it is so slow. So when I actually want to avoid... Like, so I'm like, oh, right, okay, so there's something coming up. I know I need to react to it. Let me just quickly swipe down. Oh, didn't get my first input. Well, I guess I'll do it a second time. Well, that registered. And very slowly veer to the left. I've not found that at all.
I thought that's not enjoyable at all. Sometimes, yeah, I agree. But usually if you get, like, I've switched lanes, like, as the lane became a bad thing and as switching landed onto ground rails and stuff. I thought that part was reasonably solid.
Well, maybe I am rubbish.
What did you play it on?
So I played it on an iPhone 5C.
Right. I played it on an iPad Air. And I think that extra screen real estate means you can make more of a mistake with your swipe, but still get it right, if you see what I mean.
There is an argument for that.
Perhaps if I had played it on an iPhone, I would agree with you. And if you had played it on an iPad, you would agree with me.
Well, do you know what I'm going to do, Harry? Right. I'm going to download it on my iPad and I'm going to play it later on today.
All right, then.
I don't have an iPhone, but sorry.
Hold on, gents. Now, hug and make up.
Can we kiss?
No tongues.
Can we do a little kiss?
There it is. Oh, he's gone straight in there with the old French version. Yeah, oh, it's a little saucy. All right, then. I will finish up very quickly talking about Sky Tourist Blitz Trip and not talking about slightly dodgy, racist-looking art design, which may or may not be a coincidence. The actual game itself, I liked the original. As I described before, you rocket ship dude on a string. You're guiding him left and right along the screen by moving one rocket up, one rocket down, and then pushing both up to ascend and going through the landscapes. It's really nice design. It looks really smart. It's almost a little bit slightly pop-arty, I suppose, but it's very, very clean. It's very, very fast and slick and well-produced. And I found the experience of navigating, it's very puzzly. You have to work out which way is the optimal route through each of the levels. So you find yourself doing a lot of stuff where you track up. You go across, for example, up the right-hand side of the screen, and you push a little... They have these almost windmill-like looking objects that are pivoted. And so you push one of those over, and it turns, and it unlocks an area. Then you have to go back down the way you came and approach it from another angle to get all of the bits and pieces, all of the little blocks with wings and the diamonds and stuff. Then there are moving areas, which work like conveyor belts, and you have to constantly move along them. Otherwise, you'll get trapped and smushed into the wall. You'll find enemies that eventually start becoming more and more aggressive, firing like blow darts and stuff like that at you, and platforms with spikes on the bottom. It becomes quite complex, and I think it handles it all really well. I like the first one. I will say that having played a bunch of this, it's not particularly different from the first one. It is very much more of the same, but if you did enjoy it, then you probably will like this. Cop out though that sounds, it really is a case of that. I enjoyed playing through it. The whole character design thing is a bit odd, I will grant you. And like I say, they've made their statement, so we have to give them the benefit of the doubt, but still. But in terms of just pure raw gameplay, I found it really quite good fun. And certainly if you haven't tried out either of them, maybe go, I don't know. There's no harm in going for the first one, because I don't genuinely think they're that much different. But they're both of an equal standard in terms of polish and stuff, which is really quite high. So it's worth a look, I think. If you like puzzly platform stuff with a slight twist, I would give it a look. So your full title is Sky Tourist Blitz Trip, and it's out right now. Or just Sky Tourist. And they're both around, you know, a buck or two a piece. I think we'll leave it there then. We'll agree to shake hands and disagree on the skateboarding game. You have to teach me how to play the proper true skate, though, Peter, at some point.
Dude. Seriously.
So you can show me your mad finger skills.
Mm-mm.
And you can do a reverse upside down ollie flip. Yeah? That's right. That's right, isn't it? Is it? All right.
It's been 22 years.
Since Sonic. Shut up! Yeah, all right.
Since Sonic.
I've been James. That was Harry and Peter. It's been 22 years since Sonic. Let's all go and have a cry. Thanks for listening to the podcast and watching us on Twitch. We will catch you next week for more iOS, iPhone, iPad, Android, Vita, everything else related shenanigans. Say bye-bye, everybody.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.